What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this ninth day of April 2024. And I want to start out tonight by, first of all, I got to introduce everybody. Our producer tonight, the young fella who's ready to roll in the cage, is none other than Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And way out yonder, we have none other than the legendary Parson Joe Larson.
Well, I guess we're legendary because we're like the Energizer Bunny. We just keep going and going and going.
Alrighty. And live here in the studio, I have with me tonight also Aaron Gunnius. He is one of our What's Right, What's Left contributors.
Bless God and may God bless America.
There we go. Now,
and may we bless God, I'll add to that.
Yeah, you're not kidding about that. And today I preached a funeral, and it was a very interesting funeral. And in it was, I want to just, say it was a great funeral, wasn't it?
It was very nice.
For Stephen Tunder, who passed away. Stephen was in his 90s. But the thing about it, what a beautiful day we had out there for this funeral. And his sons, as we gave eulogies, his two sons were talking about some of the things in the past, some of the things they did with him. And they told a story, which was a true story by everyone that was there. I said, yeah. That one day they used to like to go out fishing on Lake Erie, and they went out fishing, and as one son had cast his line out, he put his rod back and the hook caught his dad's sunglasses, and he didn't know it, and he cast them way out into the water. Well, they went down, and after a while they left and they went back into shore. And then they came back out later to fish again. And his dad cast the rod in. And guess what he snagged? His sunglasses. What a story. What's the odds of that, do you think, Joe?
I've pulled up some strange things, but not that's too coincidental. That's I mean, that's almost impossible.
Well, they had to have some help from above.
Yeah, they must have.
And yeah, absolutely, he had to have some help from above. And the fellows were there. They told us they saw it. And so here I want to say again, our best condolences to the family of Stephen Tunder. And it was an honor for me to preach that funeral. He left his family really loved, and that was quite a testimony for him, Stephen Tunder. All right, we're going to pick it up where we left off, Ecclesiastes. And do you remember the title of the message?
7 days of work, no longer.
We started talking about sometimes you come to the time where you have to start cutting back. You have to realize your abilities and that. But the main theme of actually this book of Ecclesiastes is, first of all, Solomon is not coming across as a king would be to his subjects. In fact, he refers to himself as preacher 7 times, and he's like a preacher preaching to his flock and teaching his flock. And now he uses some sarcasm in places. Well, let's pick it up, Joe, in chapter 2, read verse 18 and 19.
All right. Yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity.
Right. Style, I couldn't catch that because Joe was speaking over you. Oh, yeah, I forgot to. Aaron didn't know he had his phone there. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can't place those phones too close. Okay.
Didn't know that.
Did you learn a lot of stuff here with us? Anyhow, so now Joe, as we go through there, he says, yeah, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Now, Solomon is displaying some superficial pessimism here. He's kind of being a tad sarcastic and a jester that he believes would be, that he believes would be the attitude of a lot of people. And I think he'd be absolutely right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, could think about that. I wouldn't. Of course, I'm not a materialistic person, but if I worked very hard and built something up, and I certainly wouldn't want to leave it to people that would squander it, would you?
No, you wouldn't, but
especially illegals.
Like the ranch here, I don't think none of the children that I know want to live on a ranch. They all are doing something different, and it'll probably just be sold to somebody, and you kind of go, well, you hope they love it and care for it and, you know, keep it up as much as we have. And you kind of hate to think, that somebody won't.
Yeah. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labors which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and knowledge and equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. Now, here, vanity, if I asked you, what is the definition of vanity? If I was to say to you today, it's a lot of vanity with that fellow, what would you say?
Vanity is more today a very superficial thing about being vain over your looks or how good your hairstyle is or how well-dressed you are. Your vanity is almost a false pride.
Do you have any of those vanities, Joe? I mean,
nah, I've got a face for radio. I gave that other stuff up for Lent.
All righty. Okay. The hairstyle, I might have to. Now, Style, there in the studio, he's got a lot of hair.
He's got one of those that, and he takes good care of it, huh?
Yeah, he's got one of them pompadours.
Got a lot of hair and not a lot of control over it.
Yeah, okay. But it looks okay. I have a lot less than I used to have, but the skin's still covered there.
It's still covered. I've been wearing a flat top like I had back in the military for a lot of years now, and it works just fine being short. Don't have to do anything but brush it once in a while.
Well, see, that's the benefits of being ugly. There's no maintenance to it. You and I, we don't spend any time primping, do we?
No, don't need to.
Okay, nope. There you go. Let's do this.
In vanity here, he's broadened the definition, though, because he's used this term, pleasure is in vain, great works are vain, all is vain.
That's what I was getting to, the...
Yeah, I was helping you back in.
The way vanity is here virtually means hopelessness. That's the way he's coming across with this vanity here. So he says, therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. And for there was a man, there was a man whose labor and wisdom and knowledge and equity, yet no man hath labored therein, shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. And so that word there is hopelessness, and it's an evil. For what hath man of all of his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is vanity. So now is he speaking about those that have whose faith is in the Lord, or is he speaking about those whose faith isn't in the Lord?
I think he's the worldly, those who look to the world, because it sure isn't a believer. A godly believer, especially the man whose labor is in wisdom and knowledge. If you have wisdom and knowledge, there's joy in sharing and teaching wisdom and knowledge. And, yeah, he can't be speaking of believers. This has to be the unbelievers in his world.
Well, I think the next verse, we can pull that out of the next verse.
Okay.
There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor, and also I saw that it was from the hand of God.
God, yeah.
Okay. So here, the hand of God, it's an interesting thing there, too, because here in the book of Ecclesiastes, when the word God is used, it's never used as for Lord, like Jehovah. You know, Jesus was often referred to as Jehovah or Yahweh, but it's Elohim. And do you know what the definition of Hebrew word Elohim means?
Elohim, yeah. It's a plural.
Omnipotent creator. Omnipotent creator. That's what it means, omnipotent creator. And so, in other words, he's the all-powerful creator.
Well, isn't it also a plural? I always thought, they called it plural, but that would be because God, plural, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's a word meaning all.
Isn't it also El is singular God, then Elohim is three gods.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, it's not three gods, it's three.
In plural.
It's one God with three persons.
The Trinity, I mean.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so
but you
here,
said it's actually what?
The omnipotent creator. That's the name Elohim is used for, the omnipotent creator. And so as we go on, he says, for who can eat or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, and that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of the spirit. So by that verse, those two verses, he can tell you pretty much when he was, verses 18 through 21, he was referring to people who have not put their faith in God, right?
Exactly. Quite clear now.
When he goes and he says this, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. What's the significance of that? Because when he's referring to people whose lives are centered under the sun, should our lives be centered under the sun, or should our lives be centered above the sun? Where should our citizenship be?
In heaven.
Okay.
I guess I was thinking, too, that almost like there's a double meaning. If you've been out there, if you have a farm or ranch, you work a lot in the heat in the summer, and sometimes it's like your labor under that sun is really rough. And I see almost a dual meaning. If you're just looking at it on earthly terms, it's one thing, and if you look at the Son of God, or, you know, look up to heaven, you have that other, you have two meanings there.
Yeah. Well, what he was, again, yeah, referring to in several places all through here, when he refers to, as there's nothing new under the sun, but there are things new above the sun. Okay.
Right.
And so as we go here, let's move over to chapter 3 and start in verse 10.
Verse 10.
Yeah.
How far?
Well, we'll go through, we'll go to, the break catches us probably 22, if we can get to 22, but I don't think we will.
Being how far right now? Just a couple verses?
Yeah, go ahead and read verses 1 through 14.
1 through 14? I thought you said 10.
Or no, 10 through, 10. Let me change that, 10 through 15. Do 10 through right. 15.
I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past.
Okay, going back to verse 10, and I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to exercise. He has made everything beautiful. Now, God has made everything beautiful in his time, also has set the world in their heart. Now, when he's talking about if God had made everything beautiful, where did ugly come from?
Sin.
Sin.
The curse.
Man, right.
Yeah, the curse.
And boy, are the heathen making things ugly today?
The heathen are raging.
They are raging, and they're making so many things
so ugly.
We've
got to remove those people.
So ugly today. So wickedness. So he goes on and he says, he has made everything beautiful in time. He has set the world in their heart. That's an interesting thing, because when he said he set the world in their hearts, that really... To use the word world there the way we use it today would be totally out of place. So that word there in the Hebrew is referring more to eternity. He has set eternity in their hearts.
Eternity.
So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Well, that second part of that verse explains that, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah, it does.
And so
everything beautiful, and you know, we're, you know, the joys and everything. He's put that desire to know him, to be with him in our hearts. There's an empty space there that only God can fill.
Absolutely. I know that there is no good in them, for But for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, actually, when he says, I know that there's no good, he's nothing better for a man to do then. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And so here now he says in verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it and anything taken from it. And God doeth it, the man should fear before him. Now, what is happening today? What has God made today out there? God has made us the skies, and he's put clouds in the skies. But he's given us clear skies where the sun can shine through and heat up the earth. And what are they doing out there today trying to, with their...
dispersing aluminum and salt.
And other chemicals. You know. The idea is that they're trying to... And they're doing this, and Bill Gates was the one behind spending hundreds of millions of dollars to...
dimming, they call it.
Now, why do you think... what is their purpose for doing this, do you think?
Climate control.
They're saying...
Well, they think that they're going to be able to control God's weather, but Scripture makes it plain that he's in control of the weather, and he uses the weather either for judgment for the land or for blessing.
Now, these people are doing this. They think they're doing it out of wisdom, but... is disobedience and a mockery of God, is that a display of wisdom?
Not very wise, in my opinion.
Right. So are they kind of saying that they really don't think God knew what he was doing?
Pretty much. They're saying that God's not in control. He can't handle it. And he needs Bill Gates and those to step in and fix things that God can't take care of. That's what they're saying.
He goes on to say... and that which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Okay, so we're seeing things, history kind of repeating itself over and over in cycles. What do you think that means when it says, and God requireth that which is past? God requireth that which is past. Have men learned a lot by their mistakes, or have they forgotten? Is there been a lot of man's misgivings, his wrongdoings, and his past that he's forgotten?
Well, we have an old phrase that when you forget history, you're doomed to repeat the failures in it, because it was sin or stupidity, greed, lust, something that, had a bad outcome. And we don't seem to learn from our mistakes, because we keep repeating the same stupid things in history that have gone on before. They're pushing communism, socialism. It has never worked. It has never been good for man, for the people that live in a land. Never been successful, but, here they are. We're right in the middle of a communist revolution trying to change our wonderful constitutional republic into a socialist communist democracy form,
Okay. We must restore biblical morality.
So when he says, again, when he says there, and God requireth that which is past, okay? So here, because deeds of the past have been forgotten, like I said, by men.
Payment for sin, isn't it?
Yeah, well, has God forgotten about that? Or does God require every one of us, will he require all of us to give an account?
He will require all of us to give an account.
And with that, we're going to a break. We'll be back right after this.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? The greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets. Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America. America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the America, once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered, for the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent, for the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson. America, America, this land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise, for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won, yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. And see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson.
You better open up your eyes pretty quick, folks, because Joe Obama, Biden, and the opposition, the deep state, the communists, the antichrist world system, the death culture, the deathocrats, the culture of death, they're moving quickly to destroy this nation. Joe Obama, Biden, his goal is to destroy this nation down to the last. And, folks, you can no longer depend on ignorance and apathy and get by with it. It's too late for that. We're heading, and we can still avoid, if it's possible, if the people awaken, then we can still possibly take the country back by the ballot box and not the ammo box.
Mm.
But we're getting,
Lord have mercy,
every day we're getting closer and closer to, unless the people awaken, unless they awaken, and you've got to. Everybody's got to do their part. It can't be like it's been, folks. Can't let it be where they say, well, somebody better do something, because those of us that have been doing something, well, we're getting older, and many of us are not here anymore, okay? They're gone, and so it's time to stand.
It's a we the people thing.
It's time to stand and fight. You know, tactical civics is one good way of doing that, too. And so, anyhow, But here, I'll tell you another way of doing it. See, God's Word, the Bible, God will always, always honor people's commitment to Him. They will. And here you have the day of action, right here in Cleveland, Ohio, on April 11th and 12th. That's Thursday and Friday. April 11th and 12th, Thursday and Friday. And here, created equal. For 45 years, I was on those streets in front of those abortion mills preaching the gospel, saving babies. We saved a lot of babies out there doing it. And you know, sometimes you pay a little bit of a price. I was doing the prison ministry from both sides of the cells there, from other doors, you know, preaching from the inside and out. But you know what? The Bible says, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Okay. And so this has created an opportunity, because there's going to be a whole lot of people come out in Cleveland, and they're going to be down in front of that bloody preterm abortion mill. And that's on Thursday and Friday. Now, for more information, this is called the Day of Action, to stand up and be counted. If you've never done anything in your life, and you've never run to this battle, here's the chance to run to this battle. Call this number and tell them, hey, listen, I want in. And the number is 614-269-7808. That's 614-269-7808. And that is the Created Equal Day of Action. Also, we got coming up here this Saturday, April 13th, the Northeast Ohio Right to Life celebrates Life with Brian Kemper. It's at 4 p.m. It's a special hour or a social hour. 5 p.m. there's a dinner. And then the SYB Party Center is where it's held, at 4157 Hudson Drive. It's 4157 Hudson Drive in Stowe, Ohio. Tickets are free, but you need to call. Get ready to write this number down, folks. By this time, everybody should have gone and gotten a pen and paper, don't you think?
Yes.
234-334-0088. That's 234-334-0088. And now we got another one more. This is Agape Christian Academy. What a great school. My dear friends, Russ and Sue, run that school, Giffords. And they are going to be having a banquet on April 26th at 6:30 to 9 p.m. at Parkside Church in Bainbridge. And this is to raise money for a really good Christian school, folks. And their speaker is going to be Dane Orthland. Dane Orthland was the author of Gentle and Lowly in the Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. And so for more information, you can call 440, but you have to do it pretty quick, because the place is going to fill up, I think, pretty fast. And last year I spoke there, and it was filled. I mean, wall to wall. The phone number is 440-834-8022. 440-834-8022. Doers of the Word Church is going to have two tables. We'll be there again this year, because we really, 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 really support Christian schools. And so, there you go. After all of that, what do you have, Joe?
Well, let's go back to something we have talked about many, many times, but I like this story because it validates everything we've said. The headline reads, "The Great COVID Cover-Up, Shocking Truth About Wuhan and 15 Federal Agencies." It's by Senator Rand Paul, published out today. And the unique thing about it, he's been doing an investigation, and he has finally obtained records.
He's been trying to get those records for the longest time, hasn't he? And hats off to Rand Paul. He really has been working hard at this, because Mr. Fauci and those people should be found guilty of genocide.
Yep, murder. You know, and just plain, yeah. But anyway, he's gotten records now from dozens of agencies related to the origins of COVID-19 and what they call the Diffuse Project. And under duress, the administration finally released the documents that show that the Diffuse Project was pitched to 15 government agencies, U.S. government agencies, back in January 2018, and there were the officials representing were briefed on the project by none other than Peter Daszak of EcoHealth Alliance and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And we go back there and we find out that Fauci's own Rocky Mountain Lab was named as a partner along with the Wuhan Institute of Virology in this proposal, and that the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease was not only briefed on Wuhan's desire to create the virus, but the NIAID was actually listed as a participant in the, quote, diffuse pitch. And this whole pitch was, of course, basically creating a COVID-like virus and doing changes to it, making it more effective for, you know, catchable to humans, more easily transmitted. So here we have the heads of 15 agencies that knew way back when that there was going to be this Wuhan Institute were working on creating a virus genetically similar, if not identical, to COVID-19. Not one of the agencies warned what was going on. Peter Daszak concealed this proposal. He lied. University of North Carolina Science Ralph Bark was named a collaborator on the Diffuse Project. He failed to reveal the truth. There's another researcher, Ian Lipkin, who became one of the authors of Proximal Origins, a journal paper commissioned by Anthony Fauci and the NIAID to throw shade on anyone that said the virus might have come from the lab. So none of these people all kept silence while millions of people died from COVID. And now we know this diffuse proposal because of a whistleblower. One brave Marine, Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Murphy, came forward with the truth. It took a Marine, you know. Remember what was that one movie, You Can't Handle the Truth? Well, Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Murphy came forward, brought the truth forward, gave a lot of the documentation. And now you all know that what we've been telling you for all these years was the absolute truth. We were right on everything we said, and now there are documents to prove it.
Well, you know, we knew that. We had the information. We put it out there. But, again, what happened was not even so supposedly like Fox News, they were supposed to be a little different from the rest, and I guess they are. But none of the mainstream media had the courage to do that. In fact, they were working for the opposition. Their job was to keep it quiet.
They were pushing the shots.
The opposition on to really talk and have their say, did they?
No.
Pfizer knew from the beginning the shots weren't safe or effective.
Oh, absolutely. Well, they were their bioweapon. It was a weapon. The fellow that invented it here on the program, he said that was a weapon. It wasn't. There was not a vaccine.
Yeah, the guy that invented the mRNA technology. So, that's why we knew about it, because the guy that invented the technology said what it was and what it was for, right?
3 weeks before the very first person took the very first shot, remember, we had Wendy on here with us. And what was Wendy's topic? She said, do you know that every one of the test animals that were taken, 100% of the test animals that were tested on this died. And they're going to give this to people, and they're going to test it on people like they did these animals, right? And again, said that this folks don't do it.
If the animals died, I sure didn't want to be first in line to be tested, right? Would you?
Right. Well, and, you know, they claim that the total amount of people that died, were you could attribute it to the kill shot itself was 17 million. I think it was much higher than that.
Well, some of those things we may never know, but we, just from watching, just from what we heard, there were so many people died, and not only the death, but so many people are having heart problems and other problems and long COVID, and the misery just keeps on coming, and it's going to be a long time before it fades away, right? Maybe the next generation.
Yeah, if we have a next generation. The way things are going, who knows? I mean, the signs of the times are there, aren't they? What do you have, Aaron?
We got an article from WND. State voters to decide if back alley abortion butchers will be unregulated.
That's in Florida. Go ahead and tell us about it.
The majority on the Florida Supreme Court has ruled that an amendment that essentially allows for abortion anytime to anyone for any reason will be on this fall's election ballot. But Liberty Council, which has fought for the pro-life movement for years, already said it is. The three justices in the minority who got the issue right. They correctly argued that the proposed amendment misleads voters and fails to convey the far-reaching legal consequences if voted into law, Liberty Council reported. Justices Renatha Francis, Jamie Grossons, and Meredith Sasso, the three women on the court, all dissented from the majority opinion, charging that the language was defective. For example, they explained the amendment misleads voters because it ends legislative and executive action on abortion, not just limits.
There you go.
Justice Francis argued that the proposed amendment hides the ball as to its future legal ramifications. She stated the potential effects of the amendment were fourfold and that it would repeal all meaningful abortion laws, eliminate any legislative actions to protect babies before viability, subject any laws regarding post-viability abortions to a health care provider's veto, and will redefine abortion as a health issue in Florida without saying so. They also warned of years of litigation over ambiguous and undefined terms in the proposal to be decided by Florida voters. Those include viability, health care provider, and patient's health.
Go ahead.
Sasso explained, none of these terms have any sort of widely shared meaning. Similarly, I find it highly unlikely that voters will understand the true ramifications of this amendment, that they will read the ballot summary and vote based on an informed understanding and acceptance of the uncertainties posed by its vague and ambiguous language. Finally, the scheme put forward by abortion industry interests will pose a devastating infringement on a person's right to live, they said. The exercise of a right to an abortion literally results in a devastating infringement on the right of another person, the right to live. And our Florida Constitution recognizes that life is a basic right for all natural persons. One must recognize the unborn's competing right to life and the state's moral duty to protect that life, said Francis. Instead, this amendment is a Trojan horse for the elimination of any recognition on the state's interest in protecting what Rose termed potential life. Other than parental notification, no law will survive, not even health and safety regulations. Back alley abortion butchers will be unregulated. Under this proposed amendment, a tattoo artist, a 9/11 operator, or assistant to an orthotic shoe fitter would be considered a health care provider and be able to render medical opinions with no medical training. When Floridians learn about this extreme amendment, they will vote no, said Liberty Council Chief Matt Saver.
One issue defines the Democratic Communist Party, and that is death. That who they are defined what they're all about by killing children. By killing children. This is what the Democrats are all about. They're all about killing children. They're all about pedophilia. You got the ACLU now, its number one goal is trying to legalize pedophilia, okay? Now, what they did is like they did here in Ohio with Issue 1, and we try to warn people, okay? The way that they will word this legislation in such a way is people that think they're voting against it will actually be voting for it. And you see this, they always do this. They're always corrupt.
They're deceitful and fraudulent.
Yeah, right. The Democratic Communist Party is completely, totally corrupt. There's nothing about it, no redeeming merits at all. It is completely and totally like Joe Biden himself corrupted. And so
we're fighting a bunch of reprobates.
That's exactly it. Now, one good thing in Florida, they do have a good governor, and he is going to get after that and try to expose that. Our governor here in Ohio, even though he signed a heartbeat bill into law, and I'm going to tell you, he didn't help us that much on issue one. The way that what they did with that, I read last night, those of you that listened to all of the things here in Ohio when it came to the votes, what they did, unbelievable. When you had over 4,000 people in Ohio that were older than the longest living people in the country, you know.
Yeah.
And you had 4,000 of them in Ohio. When you had over 4 million, when you had just over 3 million registered voters, and yet you had over 4 million people voting. How often does that happen, Joe?
Well, they had an act in Las Vegas where the magician made an airplane disappear. I guess he made a million votes appear.
Yeah, yeah. It's, again, the corruption. And I'm wondering how our Secretary of State, Mr. Rose, how are you going to... Are you going to do anything about this?
Well, okay. What about Mike DeWine? You know, I mean, you haven't heard anything out of him about fixing it, have you?
No.
Not a peep, right?
Right. So.
Well, we know, you know, it just, our politicians are taking the path. Well, look what's going on over there in Dearborn, Michigan. The protesters are running around shouting, death to America, death to Israel, during the International Al-Quds Day. And the Imam Khomeini, who declared the day, why he would say to pour out your chants and all of your shouts upon the heads of America. And we got his followers running around shouting death to America, you know, death to Israel, from the river to the sea, and all this stuff. And I noticed Governor Whitmer, silence. How about their Congress critter, Tlaib, you know, on the death to America chants, you know, crickets, she's quiet. And here this is going on. This is getting scary, folks, when if you or I were to run out and say death to, you know, the Democratic Party, there'd be some people at your doorstep real quick with guns and, you know, riot gear and be arresting you and questioning you. But you can stand there and all day, you know, death to Israel, death to America. The guy...
Do we know how many people attended that event?
We're quite a few, according to this article. Excuse me one sec.
All righty. Co-heads, here's some good news for a change. Co-heads loudly boo as University of Arkansas police officer cuts down a student's pro-Trump flag. University of Arkansas police officer over the weekend cut down a student's pro-Trump flag at the Ole Miss versus Arkansas baseball game, and he was booed and booed as the officer cut down the flag. The incident reportedly happened Friday night, and so it's unclear which led the police presence and cut down the flag. And so Arkansas, now let me see, who do we know that was from Arkansas?
Oh,
there you go.
Bill and Hillary.
That's right. University of Arkansas police cutting down a pro-Trump flag at the old, it shows you the picture here. The number one ranked Razorbacks beat the Rebels 5-2 on Thursday night at on Friday night at 7-4 on Saturday before combined crowds of 32,649 at Baum Walker Stadium. It was Arkansas's first sweep of Ole Miss since Norm DeBrien's final season in the Razorbacks coach in 2002 when they took three games from the Rebels and Oxford. DeBrien's Razorbacks also swept. Well, anyhow, it goes on to say when they took the pro-Trump flag down, the students all booed them. So that means, you know, And we know that Trump is starting to gain a lot of momentum amongst younger people. That's good news.
Very good news.
And here's something that's not such good news. Why is a physically healthy 28-year-old woman scheduled to die? This is an article by Nancy Flounders. According to the Daily Wire, a 28-year-old Dutch woman with no physical health conditions is scheduled to die by euthanasia only because she's depressed. Zoraya Terbeek says that she has mental health issues, autism, and a borderline personality disorder, and that her psychiatrist told her, there's nothing more we can do for you. It's never going to get any better. But that's some cheery news. Maybe she, you think if she was to turn to God, it could help.
She needs Jesus, yeah.
Yeah. She told the Free Press, I was always very clear that if it didn't get better, I can't do this anymore. And,
well, that's one of the problems we're facing today is these Democrats are turning our country into a mental health institute. And like they did in the Soviet Union, if you're against their policies or you don't support the woke and the homo-trans garbage and the if you're this color, you're an oppressor or oppressed, and then you become an enemy of the state and they can use any terms, and then those who need legitimate help,
this is,
they'll throw you under the bus.
Yeah, this is something that I'm a bit stymied on, because here, the Vatican blasts transgender affirming surgery and surrogacy as violations of human dignity. Now, here, this is why I don't understand, because the way the Vatican has been going, they've been going pro-LGBTQ and supporting that. And now here, they issued a 20-page declaration on Monday declaring transgender-affirming surgery as a grave violation of human dignity. That's the right direction, you know. And like I said, that Pope has been going in the opposite direction. So I'm pleased, but I'm surprised about this.
It appears they've repented.
Right. It says, well, this announcement puts trans surgery on par with abortion. The declaration has been in the works for 5 years and was approved by Pope Francis in March.
Pastor Ernie, what they're doing, they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. What they're trying to do is allow the sodomites and the transsexuals and bring them into the flock and have them in church and acknowledge them. But they want to stop from, you know, going too far by validating the change in mutilation of the body. So they're trying to have it. They're trying to walk down a thin line in the middle, you know, kind of like trying to please everybody. And you know, it's not going to work. The same thing they're talking about, you know, not having a surrogate mother. They're saying that's bad. So they're getting a lot of things right, but they're still doing a lot of things wrong. Francis has ministered to a lot of transsexual Roman Catholics, including sex workers, and he keeps telling them that the Catholic Church must, was the word he said, welcome all children of God. But then, you know, so they're, you know, he's playing both ends against the middle.
Well, and he baptized babies that were born out of wedlock.
Right.
And bless the unions of unmarried people who were shacking up.
Yeah, so he's trying to do everything, and you can't, it doesn't work that way with God, right?
Right. You know, when he said that, humanly speaking, Christ failed at Calvary. If Christ failed at Calvary, nothing else matters to him.
Then so, our faith is in vain.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. So we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, boy, we have a whole lot more to cover. So, folks, we got a real fast-paced hour coming up. We're getting there. Don't go away. Be countdown. Go ahead. Do 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 4. Okay, I messed him up, didn't I? Be right back after this.
Pastor Ernie.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.